Well, it certainly is great to be able to spend some time in God's Word together tonight as His church. I felt very strongly during the week that we should be, as a congregation, thinking about God and the way He builds His church. You know, I wonder sometimes if we were ever having, you know, like a little thought bubble that goes above our head. And as we speak and we say things, but this thought bubble tells what we're really thinking. Like, yes, great news, Andrew and Leanne. They're very, very great. Now, what am I going to do without a families pastor? Or, Gavin, I'm so pleased for you and me. It's just great. Now I've got to do more work because you're not here. You know, sometimes you have that. Now, people, this is called normal. This is called human. You know, we say we want to bless our city, our nation, and nations. So what have we done as Crossway over the last few weeks? We're blessing Juan Turner with senior pastors, the city. Our nation, we're sending the Browns over to Alice so then they can be a blessing there. And then we're sending the Fogs to the UK. So we've done what we said. But why? Why does it feel like it sucks to be us? I gotta say it. You know, because the reality is we put ourselves in the picture of our local church. We know that there's change. We know that people come and go. But we actually almost freeze frame ourselves in the picture. You know, I had a bit of an example of this. You know, I was away with the family mission trip for a couple of weeks, and we're taking lots of pictures. And you know, you're taking pictures of people for them. Here, I'll do it on your phone. That's great. Now, there's one little icon on your phone that if you touch it, it flicks the screen around, right? So you take pictures of other people, and then the last one, you just happen to touch it and go, hang on, just one more, and you do it and go, now that's the best. You pass it back and it's a picture of you. And then they go, oh no, and check back and find it was only one, the rest were fine. But the reality is, it's a picture of us all the time with our reaction to us and the local church because we are part of the local church. But it is God who builds His church. What we say and what we feel can be at odds sometimes because that's the way we do relationship. It would be very unusual for us to say, oh, see ya, have a nice life. It's because we do life together, we're family together. I want a church that when you walk in, you're known. And not just known for what you can do or sort of, you know, the great things, but known for even the times when you failed and you've got back up again. The times when you haven't been on your best, as it were, and people stand with you and go, well, what's God saying to you and what are you going to do about it? That's the sort of church that I believe God is building. Now, if we look at Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, we read here that unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. For it's useless for you to work so hard from morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For the Lord gives rest to those He loves. This is a picture of God building His church. David was speaking to his son Solomon, we think, in this, the history of this, that he was saying, Solomon, you are so wise, but don't miss this because you could find yourself in a selfie situation when you're looking at your context through your eyes and not through God's. Because God builds His church. Unless He builds it, it's not going to stand. Unless He guards it and protects it, we won't withstand the attack from the enemy. That's why it's so important for us to actually put that in context and to know that God builds His church. We don't have to rise early and stay up late, unless, of course, you're watching sport or something like that. But, you know, we don't have to do that anxiously. Anxiously. Hear that word, anxiously. We can actually rest knowing that it's God's church and he is building it, and he will build it. And he does give rest to those he loves. He does love us. You know, God loves our church more than we do. Have you ever thought about that? God loves Crossway more than anybody else. God loves you more than anybody else, and God loves your family more than anything else. You see, as we're talking about the church, let's also have the lens of family. That the very things we're saying about the church actually get lived out and applied in the family. So unless God builds the family, we toil and labor in vain. Unless God protects our family, it's just useless. But we are not void of responsibility. You see, God could do it without us. He actually doesn't need us, but he invites us. He invites us to be part of his building of his church. For there's a season in my life when I was pastoring in New Zealand. It was a small church, but it was growing really well. We were sent to this church, my husband and I, with a mandate that if it doesn't grow, you're to close it and walk away. And I was going, not on my watch. The community that we were sent to needs God so much. God has to do something. I came in there with a sense of real desperation. What would God do in families? What could we do to reach out? I arrived at the church. They said, oh, we don't have children. I go, well, there's children that live around us. Of course, there's something that we can do for children and families. And over a period of months and years, we saw that church come alive. And then through a series of events, God was repositioning my husband and I. And I didn't find that very helpful at all. I was going, this church is growing. The people love us. It's great. What was actually happening underneath the surface when I reflected back on it? I was forgetting that it was God's church. And I was growing. I was still praying. I was still trusting. But I wasn't desperate in the same way as I was when we first began. And it wasn't an intentional shift. It's not a shift that I'm proud of, but it was happening. And then I don't say it's a result of that, that God moved me out, but I recognized it when he did move me out. God sent me back into the marketplace. He sent me back into teaching in the local school. And much to my dismay, I felt my ministry had been taken from me. Hear all the my? I was truly in a selfie-centered world then. But you know what? God was doing something in me. He was breaking something in me because he was proving to me that it is his church and he will build it his way, but I had some responsibility in there. It was 6 months into my teaching, back into the teaching career. And every morning, it was the same routine. I'd moan to God all the way in my short drive to my school, saying, why am I out of ministry? Why did you take this from me? Look at what's happening to the ministry I was part of. And God was almost saying to me, I believe, look what's happening in you. I'm God, you're not. And it was like he said to me, would you open your eyes and see your ministry? And I can remember the morning, it was raining. It doesn't always rain in Auckland, but often. It was raining that morning. And I said, God, I'm sick of the arguing. School is my ministry. And by goodness, you and I, we're going to change that environment because it wasn't a great environment in that school. I changed my mindset and depended upon God in such a desperate manner. And the school environment changed. Not because of me, and not just because of God, but because God and me were working together. You see, he had my life in his hands. His church he was building, but he needed my cooperation. You see, it wasn't about a position. The late label of pastor is just a label. It's a position, but it's not a posture. You see, God doesn't grow his church through position. He grows it through posture. I can remember looking at the song. Now, it's this old song. You guys wouldn't probably even know it. And I'm not a Pastor Andrew, so I will not sing it. But listen to these words, and you'll be blessed by that. And that's been the truth. Nothing can I achieve, nothing attain. He that without thee builds labours in vain. Shatter my own design, shaping a plan divine. Come to this heart of mine, Saviour, again. Reshape my thinking. Reshape what I can see in this world. And let me see you build your church, God. Let me fall in love with your church and you and enjoy the journey with people. But not hold on to it so tight that it stifles the activity of God in my life. You see, we need to posture ourselves in a way that would allow God to actually grow his church. That would allow God to grow his church in a whole new way. See, maybe we posture ourselves through generosity. You see, that's not just something that we do because, oh, we feel we should do. But being generous, truly generous, is generous with our time. Is generous with our resources. What if we postured ourselves in a way that said, God, build your local church, but I want my responsibility to be generosity. I don't want any kid or youth or young adult to not have a mentor in their life. I want to posture myself to be generous in that way. I want to posture myself to look around and see the needs that other people have, and I want to meet those needs. I want to do that as a model to my children. I want to model this to my peers. And I want to posture myself in a way, God, that generosity is not a word I say, but an action that I live. When we're in Thailand, I had responsibility of taking the children, their seven children, at night to the markets to buy our dinner. Now, Pastor Darren didn't give us a whole lot of money. In fact, he gave us not much at all and said, that's your budget and you can't spend more than that. So we were on this mission to go and find food that we could pronounce as well as understand what was in the thing. But also, you know, to go and find it, but we weren't to spend anything more than our budget. So the kids were getting really good at managing their budgets and I'll share that meal with you and we'll buy this on top. Well, me and my wonderful sense of direction had these kids all by myself this time. Oh no, beg your pardon, there was a parent with me and said, oh, well, I'll just follow you and I'll help you. Go, yeah, sure, follow me. And I led them off. And it wasn't long when I was in the market area, I thought, I have no idea where we are. Go, okay, let's head to the outskirts of the market and see if we could find somewhere to eat there. We came across this little place that obviously was just for Thai people, really. The cost of the food was a lot cheaper. The way that the place was laid out was really nice, but it wasn't really for the Western market. But we sat there, and this dear little lady made 9 meals, one after the other. And she made mine last, but that was all right. I could cope with that. But she made these little meals, and it was cheaper. And the kids were going, wow, look at this. We met budget. Awesome. Let's go buy something else. And immediately it was, oh, we could buy this. We could buy that. And we go, hang on a minute. We were expecting to pay 50 baht a person for our meal. What say we give this lady that which we haven't spent? And it was just this, really? Are you kidding me? But I would have got more and go, no, no, we ate what we needed. Now let's give her what's left over. So we did that. And it was with a great excitement that kids are going, that's great. Let's come back here for dinner tomorrow night. So we actually came back there 3 nights in a row and we did the same thing. But what I saw in these children, without being asked, they would go up and say thank you. And now there's a language barrier, but she could see the smile and the thank you. And they realized that generosity was a choice. They could have gone and bought more things and used up our allowance, but they chose, with a little bit of persuasion on the first night, to actually demonstrate generosity. I wonder what it would look like for us as a church to partner with God in a way that we were so generous that everyone's needs were met. That our eyes were tuned not to just ourselves and what can I really afford, but what do you want me to give away? And I don't want to give something that costs me nothing. Every one of us have the opportunity to position ourselves for generosity. What about a posture of love? What does a posture of love look like? Again, working with these kids while their parents were off doing some work with our what are called the centre. It's a place where students at the local university come in Chiang Mai. They come, they learn English, but conversational English. And the desire of those who are ministering there is that these people would meet Jesus. And so our parents had gone to actually leverage their influence there. And I was working with the kids. And we were looking at Romans 12. And then out it comes as, don't just say you love them, really love them. And we had the most amazing conversation is, what does it mean to really love? What does it mean to really love? You know, we can love people in our family. We can overlook the things that they do that annoy us because they're family. We can love in that space. We can love our friends. We find that pretty easy. But what if God wanted us to build our church through radical love? What does that look like? You see, it's not a program in a church. It's not led by a pastor. It's led by a posture. And that's a posture of love. And every one of us have love to give, but what would it look like for you? What does it look like for me? What is God asking you to do? And why do we put it off? We put it off because it's costly. We put it off because it means putting ourselves out, taking ourselves out of the picture, flicking it around and going, I am looking out for other people. Love would mean walking away from your friendship group on a Sunday to talk to somebody who you haven't seen before. Love is offering to pray for somebody. One of our volunteers came into Kidspace this morning. I knew the journey she's had in this week. It's been tough. But she said, do you know, Marg, what happened? Somebody came up to me and just said, I would love to pray with you. Is that okay? It's a church. Is that okay? And she said, I felt so touched and noticed by God. Family, that's what it is to love. To follow the promptings of God, to put yourself out there. What if that's what God's asking you to do? What if that's the way he wants to build our church? Because it's his church and he will build it and he will protect it, but he needs us to partner with him or invites us to partner with him and giving us responsibility. The last posture I want to talk about is surrender. What if we said yes to God rather than argue with him? What if we took our eyes off the circumstances and said, God, what do you see that we don't see? There's this wonderful biblical narrative that we read in Mark where Jesus has been teaching and he's with the disciples, and it's an amazing aha moment for these disciples. They've been with Jesus. They know what he says. They know it in their mind. But sometimes they get in the way and they were just tired. They wanted to send these 5,000 people home. Just send them home, Jesus. And Jesus says to them, basically, I've got another idea. Why don't we feed them? You kidding me? Why don't we feed them? And immediately into selfie mode, well, where are we going to find food for all these people? The cost of it all. And on it went. And it was like Jesus going, hang on a minute. Go and see what we have. And those of you that know that story in history would see that they found a boy who gave his lunch. His lunch was 5 loaves and 2 fish. No way was that going to feed the whole crowd. Here was this moment where Jesus showed obedience in action. You see, the disciples had, if somewhat begrudgingly, got on board with this, but they were still going, I don't understand. But they didn't walk off and leave him, saying, it's your problem, Jesus, I'm out of here. What will you do? And I sense there was an anticipation in the air as, what's Jesus up to? What's going to happen? Then Jesus did something quite outstanding. Actually, it was very plain and ordinary. He gave thanks for that lunch. He gave thanks for it. Then he broke the bread and then he multiplied it. Let's take that beautiful picture of Jesus doing something miraculous while he's building his church. He took what was offered and he broke it. Do you need breaking at times? I do. I get confident in what I know I can do. I have, you know, success and a history, and I can go, oh, yeah, no, I know that. I can do that. But God needs to break us when we're out of that posture of obedience and surrender. But he doesn't break us just to break us into pieces and that. He actually gives thanks for us, then breaks us and can multiply us. What I didn't know in those 6 years I was teaching in that school, and in the following 6 years that I was the CEO of Willow Creek in New Zealand, what I didn't know was God was preparing something for me. God was at work even though I didn't know that. I love to think that wherever I am, I give it 100%. But God was seeing his church bigger and different. November 2010, I said to my family one day, do you think generational ministries, or at that stage children's pastors, ever pass their use-by date? I just feel this longing to lead a team again. I mean, I don't mind traveling around the country, doing amazing things, enjoying all of that, but I just want to lead a team. What does that look like? And it was a matter of within 10 days of that, I had a phone call from Pastor Dale, who said, have you ever thought of moving to Australia? And I laughed and thought, is this a prank call or something? I mean, what? And it was like out of the blue for me. Yet it shouldn't have been, because God already planted something in my heart. And he will build his church. And his church is global. Now, you might call that a blessing or a curse on Crossway. That's up to you. But for me, I actually know that God has used those years that I thought were out to pasture. He actually created a desire in my heart to see things differently. And many of the things we've been discovering here as part of the Crossway team, I had never seen before. But God is showing me new things. And a new enthusiasm for him, because he blessed me, he broke me, and he can multiply me as a little part of his church. So when we say city, nation, nations, the hills, the browns, the fogs, and whoever, you know, we're saying this is our mission. It is God's church. He will build it. And people who don't know him will come into a loving relationship with him. And we can be part of that when we posture ourselves in a way that loves God and loves the local church. God's been working deeply in that zone for me. And what say, even if God would, at that last moment, God would actually almost just say, I want you to be part of this, if you will. But he doesn't force us. He gives us that challenge. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're on the winning team. You know, it's like, which team would you want to spend time on if you were a rugby player? Okay, let's move on. But you know, you want to be on the winning team. You want to be on the winning team. And the winning team is the local church. Because when the local church is working well, God's name is upheld and people find him. So I want to challenge you tonight. Are you dependent upon God? Are you wrestling with the things of God? Or are you seeing your circumstances? Are you seeing the shortcomings of a local church? Because you don't have to go far to see that. But God knows that, and he loves his church more than we do. So as we really wrestle, just for a few moments, what is it that God's asking you to do? And we're going to move into a time of communion, and we're going to do that slightly differently. But I want to just push pause on this point. God is building his church. Are you with him? Or are you building your church experience? Are we Crossway desperate to see God move in a way that says whatever? Are we holding those who are part of our leadership team, those who are part of our community, are we holding them so tight they're going, what about us? What about us? Yeah, we can feel that. But what if we said, what about our broken world? What if the influence could spread? What if that which we learnt here could be taken out? That would make a difference. So what do you do tomorrow? How are you building the church? It's not about being a pastor. It's about being a follower of Jesus. So I invite you to just pray in that space. Offer yourself afresh to God today. He knows your gifts. He gave them to you. He knows your resources. He gave those to you. He loves you. And he wants to release you to be the local church. Father, as the disciples stood back amazed at what you did when you broke those loaves and you multiplied till everyone was satisfied. God, would you do something amazing in our midst? As we posture ourselves for generosity, love, and surrender, would you take all we have and would you use us? Would you take all there is of me. Take what I hope to be. Your way at last I see. It's your way I choose. I thank you for the plan that you have for each one of us and the way you want to use us to make your world known, to make your love known, to make your plan known to our community who desperately are seeking someone. God, would you use us in our everydayness to build your church? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you see people standing here with communion. I'm just going to ask them just stay standing just a little bit longer because I want you to, first of all, posture yourself for generosity. We've got some containers at the end of the row, and we at every time every month we have an offering. That's our communion offering that we actually give over and above our regular offerings. And this is out of our generosity. We say, God, we know there are people that have needs, and we want to meet those needs even though we don't know the people. So if you're at the end of the row, would you like to, we've got those containers at the end of the row. Yes? Yes, if you pass those around, I want to ask, would you position yourself for generosity? What is it that you can give that will cost you, but will so bless somebody else? You see, as we look up to Jesus and we see our sinfulness, it makes us want to reach out to others so that we would touch their lives too. Because God has given us so much. One thing I love about Crossway is that we may be a big church, but you don't have to stand alone. That we can be together. And I love circles as a shape. Bubbles come in circles. I just like circles. I like circles because as we come around together, we know that we're not alone. We know that we're not perfect, but we feel like family. So tonight, instead of our stewards giving you the elements, I'm going to ask you to move. I'm going to ask you to posture yourself. And that means to stand up and to go and stand around one of these people and to come and then take the elements. And then we'll then share them together. So wherever you're sitting right now, I want you to find somebody there that's holding some elements. Come join them and just gather around in groups. Come on out and gather around in groups. Maybe give a little bit of space behind. And take the elements and just stand there alongside somebody. Be part of a group tonight. Because you don't stand alone. Make sure there's space for other people. Give them eye contact too. And if you do find this a little uncomfortable, then just come and grab one and take it back to your seat. This is not about all just conforming. This is about a visual reminder that we don't stand alone, that we stand together. So if you think of what Jesus did when he said, "I will build my church," he demonstrated generosity, love, and surrender when he says, "Not my will, but your will." And his body was broken for us. So as we think of what Jesus did, let's take the bread and let's remember that Jesus' body was broken for us. And then as we imagine Jesus, we'll see the picture of history of Jesus with his arms stretched out. And he declares, "It is finished. The battle against sin is won," because he has fought that battle. He is greater than Satan. He is greater than anything. He carved the way to heaven through his blood. And his blood covers all our sin, all our brokenness, all those things that we think that we shouldn't. But he covers that. So as we take the juice, let's think of Jesus' blood poured out for us. And it's personal. It's for you that Jesus did that. Let's take that together. Father, you sent your son Jesus to pour out his love, pour out his life for us. And our response to that is gratitude. And when you say, "God, you will build your church," we want to be part of that, whatever that looks like. Help us to position ourselves in such a way that we can love extravagantly. We can be generous beyond measure, and we can be obedient wherever you call us to serve, knowing that you will have your way and you will build your church in and through your power and your glory that we saw demonstrated on the cross. In the victory of Jesus, we claim victory for ourselves. Amen.